In the Buddhist context, conviction is defined as conviction in the Buddha's awakening. Not only that it happened, but also that we take it as our reference point when issues come up in the mind. You're trying to think of the issue in light of what the Buddha experienced, what he found on the night of his awakening. For example, narratives come up. You're sitting here meditating, and all of a sudden a story from yesterday or earlier today or last week or last year or early on in your life comes up into the mind. And you can look at it in all kinds of different frameworks. Your relationship to your family, your relationship to the people here in the community. But the best framework is to think of it in terms of the framework of the Buddha's remembrance of his previous lifetimes, many, many, many aeons. And think of what it'd be like if you could take that incident, that issue, and place it in that context. How much meaning would it still have in the mind? Not much. The question of who was guilty, who was innocent, begins to become meaningless, especially when you look at it in terms of not only the first knowledge that the Buddha gained, but also the second. That long process of rebirth and death and rebirth and re-death is driven by action. And the ways in which you were born are determined by things you've done based on your views. And the Buddha said, you see someone who's really poor, you have to remind yourself, you've been there. You see someone who's really rich, you've been there. Almost any type of person, you've been there. And not just people, animals of all kinds, devas of all kinds, brahmas, you've been there. And so how does that incident, how does that issue stack up against that knowledge or looking at things in that way? This is a great way of stepping back from your issues, especially the ones that suddenly loom large in the mind. So you can ask yourself, do I really want to go into that? Especially if there's a lot of hurt feelings around who is innocent, who is guilty. In the larger frame of things, everybody's been innocent, everybody's been guilty. And again, so you just can't trace things back, how far a particular incident goes back. In long-term karmic ancestry, the Buddha said, if you try to trace it back, you go crazy. There's another thing that he recommends that you not think about in his sutta on appropriate attention, or his discussion on appropriate attention in Majjhima 2. He talks about questions that are not worth following, not worth paying attention to. And some of them are, what was I in the past? Was I in the past? What was I in the past? How was I in the past? Will I be in the future? What will I be in the future? And some people say, well, didn't the Buddha ask these questions of himself when he first gained awakening? And there is answers, perhaps that was the first motivation for those questions, to gain those knowledges. But then those are questions he dropped. He realized that the question of who he was not a useful question, because after all, the whole process was driven by action. Why not look directly at actions? Actions that are skillful, actions that are unskillful, and ways that you can get past those categories of skillful and unskillful. In other words, get to the kind of karma that leads to the end of karma. You do that not by thinking about who you were, or who was guilty, or who was innocent, or who was good, or who was bad, but simply actions, good actions, bad actions, skillful, unskillful, informed by right view, informed by wrong view. That takes the people out of the equation. It leaves the actions. And then with action, remember, the Buddha said your actions right now are not totally determined by the past. You do have the freedom to choose. So why not choose to do something skillful right now? And right now, and right now. Keep at it. So the Buddha was showing by example that you put aside questions of your identity, who you were, who you are, who you might be. And the question is actions. What are the actions that were done in the past that are yielding the results right now? And if it's a result you don't like, knowing the general principle of action, what could you change? And you also realize that your identity is an action, your sense of who you are. The way you identify yourself as a being is determined by the things you cling to. And we keep on clinging from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. Like the cat. It's clinging to its cat issues right now. And it's in a position where we can't say, hey, stop it. Just look at the action as an action. Remind yourself, you've been there too. And if you're not careful, that's where you might go back to. But it's also possible to get out. That's the whole message of the awakening. After the Buddha gained those knowledges of all those rebirths, and thinking about how whatever identity he had just kept changing and changing and changing. And it never led to anything of really real solid value. It's like those early explorers who went to the poles, or tried to go to the poles. They'd get up to a certain latitude, and they realized if they went any further, they wouldn't survive, so they turned back. So they have these many stories of people getting closer and closer, but never quite getting there, then coming back down again. And that's where our trajectory has been in the past. We go to really good places, but then we fall. Then we work our way up again, and then we fall. But this doesn't mean that we're always going to have to fail. After all, there were people who finally attained the poles, both the North Pole and the South Pole. So it can be done. The same way the Buddha attained awakening. He showed that it can be done. And he didn't attribute to who he was as a special being. In fact, after his awakening, someone asked him who he was. He simply said, awake. He attributed it to his actions, particularly actions of the mind. And just like us, he had been many things in the past. That reflection of how you wouldn't meet anyone who hadn't been your mother, your brother, your sister, your brother, your son or daughter. He'd been all those things. Again, he'd been very poor, very wealthy. So his ability to find awakening didn't depend on the fact that he had been somebody special. It simply depended on his willingness to do what needed to be done, to figure out what was going on in the mind. So take that to heart. That's also something you want to take to heart as you think about the Buddha's awakening. He showed that human beings can do this. It is possible through your actions to attain something that is unconditioned. And as he kept saying, he could do it. He had you think. Other people have been able to do this. They're human beings. I'm a human being. They can do it. Why can't I? So that's where your narrative should lead. They should get dissolved into actions. in that large framework. And then from the perspective of actions, you can ask yourself, what action do I want to do now? And you have freedom of choice. To try to take advantage of that freedom. We have good opportunities for practice right now. We don't know how much longer they're going to be this good. So take advantage of them while you've got them. And even when the opportunities are not good, take advantage of what opportunities you do have. There's always the opportunity to do something skillful. And you want to make that a habit, because the more you make it a habit, then the easier it becomes. And if you tell yourself, well, I'm not the sort of person who can do that, well, you will change as you change your actions. And again, it's not an issue of what sort of person you are, it's what sort of actions you do. Don't let your identity get in the way. Think of the possibility of freedom of choice as opening the way. And make whatever choice seems best.